So, if you missed our Christmas party last night, you missed a great time of fellowship. We had a tremendous, I think we had like 52 people here. And Matthew got a mouse suit or something. But then it wound up in Mike's. Did you sleep in it last night?
No.
you gave it back to Annie. Oh, well, how sweet. I didn't ask her. Oh, yeah. We had and then Tom got a potty putt-putt. He can play golf while he's sitting on the potty. So and he demonstrated it for us while we were. So we had a great time. You missed a fun time. Yes, Rick. Now? Let's see what we have. A compact. No, I don't know what. It's a clock with Rick's picture in it. Is that to keep me on time? To get you out of here in time? Thanks, Rick. I don't know what to say. We had a great time. Plan on coming next year, because we just have a blast and a good time of fellowship, fun together. I didn't know if little Jordan was going to be preaching with me this morning or not. You know, people are watching you. Kids are watching you, and so I have. Of course, all of us need to be very careful about the things we say and do, because we have kids watching us, and particularly a pastor. Needs to be careful about the things they say or do. We are talking about, in Hebrews, and we talked about last week, some attributes of faithful people. Things that, if you want to become a faithful person, a person of faith, and be on the hall of faith or in the wall of faith, then there are some certain things that you need to implement in your life, looking at the lives of those who's gone before us. Those who have been faithful, and in Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about great men and women of faith, and we look at them as examples to follow. And so, this morning we're going to continue in Hebrews chapter 11. There's a lot of things in there we didn't cover. I mean, we could spend a year on this topic. Probably won't, but we could take a year and talk about faith, because faith is huge in God's eyes, very huge in God's eyes. Before I continue, I want to know we're planning on having a Christmas Eve service, which would be on a Monday evening, December the 24th. How many of you would be coming to the Christmas Eve service? Okay, all right, good. Because last couple of years, there have just been some things that haven't worked out as good, I think, for some people, and we didn't have very many attending. And so, Lord willing, I'll be here. And we're going to be talking about the miracles of Christmas. Okay, we're going to be talking about the miracles of Christmas. And so there's more than one miracle that took place during that time. But we're going to be talking about several of those at the Christmas Eve service. And so we'll just plan on having that around 6 o'clock on December 24th, Monday night. Okay? So it's good that you are, let me know that, so I know how to plan. We'll also have, we'll partake of the Lord's Supper at that time as well. And so, looking at Hebrews chapter 11, the author throughout the book of Hebrews is trying to get us to hone in on this idea of faith. From the first verse, first chapter, throughout the 13th chapter and the last verse, he's trying to get us to hone in on this area of faith. Because in his eyes and in the eyes of the Lord, faith is huge, and it ought to be large in our eyes. If you don't have faith, you get stuck. You can't go anywhere without faith. We find out in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, that add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and it goes on down. But if you don't ever have that underlying faith, you can't go anywhere. You are stuck, and you will remain stuck the remainder of your life. So faith is a principal thing, and I think that's why the author of Hebrews is trying to drive it home to us. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. And again, we're going to begin in verse 1, as we did last week, and read verses 1 through 3 and verse 6 as well. So, if you can read this, please read with me. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Father, we come before You today. Lord, we just pray for Your blessings over this service today. And Lord, I understand there was a church that burned last night, and I just pray for the people there over in Hillsdale area. I pray, oh Father, that You would bless them. Lord, for Pastor Bill Creech and his flock, his wife. Lord, I pray that You'd bless them this morning. Lord, bless the other churches that are presenting Your Word today. And God, that Your Spirit would fall upon this place, that Your Spirit would fall upon this community. Lord, that there would be great revival here. Lord, people need to know You. God, give us a heart to share Christ with others. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, it's by faith we believe that the universe was created by the Word of God. By faith, we believe that God spoke that into existence. No one was there to see that. Right? Nobody was there to see that except God. But by faith, we believe that God spoke the world into existence. And by faith, we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. By faith, we only know that because of what's written in God's Word. And we only know that because He was raised from the dead 3 days after He died. We believe that. We believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. Now, to the world, that just sounds crazy. But by faith, we understand that. By faith, we know that that's truth. By faith, we know that Herod tried to kill Him. We weren't. Were you there, Sandy? Were you there? No, you weren't there. Larry, were you there? No one was there. Except for the disciples, and they were eyewitnesses to the fact. And so they wrote it down for our benefit, penned by them through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, We get to read about it. We get to read about that history. And because of that history that's in God's Word, we are, by faith, we understand it. And by faith, we receive it. And because of that, there's something that transforms our lives. There's something that takes place in our lives that only by faith can we experience that. It's by faith we understand those things. It's not because we saw it. It's not because we have friends that saw it. It's because we know it because God's Word says it. And not only does God's Word say it, but we have accepted it into our heart. Okay? We know it. Scripture says that faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I wanted to, this morning, I wanted to kind of demonstrate to you what faith is, but I need a volunteer to help me out. Are you raising your hand, Isaiah? Okay. So you're going to help me out. And what I'm going to do is to help you and help this congregation to understand what faith is. All right? Now, although you raised your hand, I chose you, right? I chose you to be up here and be a volunteer for me to help demonstrate faith. Now, we're going to demonstrate faith not in God so much as demonstrate faith in me. All right? Okay. So, Isaiah, it's getting close to Christmas, isn't it? Wouldn't it be nice to have an extra $20 so that you could purchase presents for someone that you like real well, like myself? It would be really nice. Can we have a microphone for Isaiah, please? So, just imagine, if you would, what you could do with that $20. If you had an extra $20. Just imagine. And see, what I'm doing, I'm building hope in him. Okay? Building hope in him. Scripture says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the substance of things hoped for. So, are you kind of getting your hopes up a little bit? Yeah? Okay. I'm going to turn this on. All right, hold it a little closer. All right. So, building his hopes up a little bit. Scripture is, it's faith is the things of substance hoped for. But you don't have $20, do you? But it would be nice if you had extra $20.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what if I told you I have $20 I want to give you? Would you believe me?
No.
No. Okay. Well, go sit down. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. So, you know what? Scripture says if we don't believe, we can't have it. Right? Scripture says if we don't believe, we can't have it. Now, you really hurt my feelings. Because basically you called me a liar. Okay? And that's what we do to God when we don't believe him. And we call him a liar. And we haven't practiced this, have we? No. Okay. So, when God says something that he wants to do for us, and we don't believe him, basically what we're saying is, God, you're a liar. And I don't believe that what you've told me is truth. So you hurt my feelings because you didn't believe me. Scripture says without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to believe God. So, Isaiah, I'm going to tell you again. I have $20 I want to give you. Do you believe me?
Maybe.
Maybe. So, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am?
Pastor Brad.
Okay. So, dwell on that word pastor just a minute. Okay. Do you think your pastor would lie to you?
No.
Okay. So you kind of do believe me then?
Yeah,
kind of. Kind of? All right. So, so, did you imagine what you could do with $20?
Yeah.
All right. So, I really want to instill this belief in you that I want to give you $20. Right? Do you believe it yet?
Maybe.
Maybe. That's, and maybe it's not good enough. Okay? So when God says, I have something I want to give you, our hope is built up. And because we know God isn't a liar, that He always speaks truth, that He always comes forth with whatever He's promised us. Okay, he does that. So, your pastor, not Brad, but your pastor says, I have $20 I want to give you. Now, that's my word. Okay? Now, either I'm lying or either I'm telling the truth. Am I a liar?
No.
So, do you think I'm telling the truth?
Yeah.
All right. So do you believe that I want to give you $20?
Sure.
Okay, good. Woo! That was tough. Okay, so. So do you have the $20?
No.
Well, yes, you do, because I've said I'm going to give it to you.
Okay.
All right? All right, so you have it, but you don't have it. Technically, you have it, but you don't have it. So, faith is the evidence of things not seen. You don't see it yet, but you have it.
Yeah.
But you don't see it.
Yeah.
Okay? So, faith is the substance of things. Substance, that word substance means something we can stand on. Okay? Something that we know that it's not going to. Whatever we're going to stand on isn't going to drop out from under us. It's solid.
Yeah.
Okay? So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, you haven't seen it, but you believe in your heart. I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I have $20 that I want to give you. Okay? Are you ready for it?
Sure.
Okay. So what I want you to do is I want you to go over there and pick up that tissue box, look under it, and see if it's there.
Okay.
All right?
Oh,
all right. Good job. It's yours. It's not mine, it's yours. Now, if you want to give it back to me, you can.
No.
Thank you, Isaiah. You helped me just wonderfully. You are a tough nut, though. I think sometimes we're tough nuts, aren't we? God wants to do things for us. He's already, you know, He lists. I was reading the other day, God doesn't listen to your prayers, He listens to you. And I thought, man, that's cool. I like that. God doesn't listen to your prayers, He listens to you. And it's, Scripture says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So when we exercise our faith, it pleases God. Do you know it pleased me when you exercised your faith? It pleased, because you weren't calling me a liar anymore. All right? It really pleased me that you exercised your faith and I was able to do something for you that probably wouldn't have happened any other way. Okay? But I want you to understand, I chose you to bless you. I chose you to bless you. God chose you to bless you. But the only way we're going to be able to experience those blessings is if we quit calling God a liar. And if we trust Him, truly trust Him and believe Him that He's going to do what He said He's going to do. Two times in Scripture, Jesus marveled. Two times in Scripture, Jesus marveled. The first time is in Matthew. I'm not going to read it to you. The first time we find that is in Matthew chapter 8. There was this Roman officer who came to Jesus one day and said, Jesus, I've got a servant who's paralyzed and he's sick and he's hurting. He's in a lot of pain. I want you to heal him. But don't come to my house. Just speak the word and it will be done. Because I'm a man who is over others, and I tell them what to do, and they do it. And I tell them, don't do something. They don't do it. I'm over them. And you're that same kind of guy. You can speak it. And diseases and those things are under your command. And so all you need to do is speak it, and my servant will be well. And Jesus marveled at his faith. Jesus marveled. And there was another time when there was this Syrophoenician, a Gentile woman, wasn't even a Jew. Neither of these people were Jews. This lady comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, I need you to take care of my daughter. She's demon-possessed. And Jesus said to her, now this is strange for Jesus to say this. He said, I came to feed only the children of Israel. And it's not right that I should give the food to the dogs. See, he was testing her faith. He was testing her faith. And this is what she spoke. She said, even the dogs get to eat the crumbs from the rich man's table. And Jesus got, whoo, he's blown away. Man, and you get what happened? She got what she asked for because of her faith. Did you know that faith pleases God? Nowhere in Scripture do we read where Jesus marveled over somebody's love. Now, love is great. It's the greatest gift, right? Nowhere in Scripture do we read where Jesus marveled over love. Nowhere in Scripture do we marvel over Jesus. Do we read where Jesus marveled over boldness, or giving, or anything else? The only time He marvels is over somebody's faith. That's the only time. You don't have to be real educated to have faith, do you? A matter of fact, it might be a hindrance. It might be a hindrance. But Jesus marveled over individuals' faith. And the times we see the most rebuke to the disciples is because of their lack of faith. Because of their lack of faith. We find Matthew chapter 6. So these five examples are going to all come from Matthew. I didn't go any further, just from Matthew. Okay? Now, Jesus was preaching the Sermon on the Mount. Scripture says that the crowds came and Jesus called his disciples to him. And evidently they were worrying about their clothes, worrying about their food, and worrying about necessities. And Jesus told them this in Matthew 6:30. If God cares about the wildflowers and he clothes them, how much more does he care about you? And he goes on to say, if God cares about the birds of the air and he feeds them, who do you think feeds the birds of the air? You might say, I do. But we have a patio door in our bedroom, which is interesting, but my wife wanted it. So, but we can look outside in the early mornings, we can see birds getting worms or grain or whatever they're getting. And God provides for them. And God said, if I can provide for them, I'm going to provide for you as well. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. How many of you worry about those kind of things? God said, don't worry about it. I'll provide for you. Now, sometimes he always provides through work, right? It's not like you can just sit back and say, okay, God, feed me. He says, okay, I'm going to feed you, but I've got a job for you to do. Okay? Another time, Jesus rebukes the disciples. You remember when he was getting in, this is in Matthew chapter 8, he gets into a boat and there's a storm comes up and the disciples are just freaking out and Jesus is in the boat. Do you think the boat's going to sink with Jesus in the boat? The boat's not going to sink. But they were scared. And Jesus was sleeping. He had a hard day. He was tired. And he was sleeping, and Peter and the rest of the gang are just freaking out. And they wake up Jesus. Have you ever been woke up from a deep sleep? Jesus was not real happy with them. I mean, he doesn't rebuke them for waking him up, but he does rebuke them. He says, O ye of little faith. How in the world is a boat going to sink while I'm here? O ye of little faith. A third time, we find in Matthew 14:31, you remember this story. There was another storm on the sea, and Peter said, can I walk to you? And Jesus said, come on. And so Peter steps out of the boat. And Paul preached on this not long ago. Starts walking on the water, and he gets afraid because of the tumultuous waves, because of the circumstances around, but he gets frightened. And he starts sinking. He forgot to faith. He forgot to faith. And so Jesus says to him, Peter hollers out, Jesus, save me! And Jesus reaches down, pulls him up. And Jesus says to him, O you of little faith. O you of little faith. And then Matthew 16, they're in a boat again. How many of you ever been afraid when you're in the boat? So they're in a boat again. And Jesus had just told them about the being careful about the things that they're listening to regarding the Pharisees. But he said, be careful of the bread of the Pharisees. And they said, oh no, Jesus is getting on to us because we forgot bread. We didn't bring bread with us. And that was immediately following Jesus feeding 5,000 people with a few pieces of cornbread and a few fish. And he says, "Oh, you of little faith." Then in Matthew 17:17, he says, Jesus replied, "You faithless and corrupt people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So what was happening was that there was this kid who was demon-possessed who came in, and the disciples were trying to exorcise or remove this demon from this boy. Many people think it's epileptic seizures. It wasn't that. It was a demonic influence in his life. And so the man brought the boys to the disciples, and the disciples tried to get him out. They couldn't do it. And Jesus rebukes them and says, "Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long is it going to take before you believe? How long is it going to take before you believe?" You know, I think that's good. The Lord has asked me that question. How long is it going to take before you believe? What's it going to take? What's it going to take before you believe? We find that God is very, very pleased when we believe Him. When we believe Him, we find His... Do you, how many of you would like your faith to be increased? I see your hand. A passage of Scripture in Romans, I think it's chapter 5, that says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I want to ask you, what have you been listening to? What have you been reading? What have you been watching? So, if I want my faith to be increased, then I probably ought to begin finding out what God says and start believing what He says rather than what anyone else says. We have a lot of naysayers in our country, in our community, and we need to begin listening to what God says, and we need to begin implementing that in our lives, regardless of whether we can believe it right now. Okay? We need to learn what God said. God is not a liar. Turn to your neighbor and say, "God is not a liar." Do you believe He's not a liar? Then when you don't believe Him, you're calling Him a liar. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. What if, what if each of our, the faith quotient, grew by 10% next year in this church? Do you think that could happen? I believe so too, but I believe the only way it can do is if we get really serious about studying His Word, we get really serious about hearing His Word, about listening to His Word, and about walking in His Word. Do you know what? If I said, there's $20 under that tissue box over there. Isaiah said, "I believe." But what if he didn't go over there? He'd have never got the blessing. He'd have never got the blessing. And I believe God has some blessings for you this next year. But the only way you're going to receive them is if you reach out in faith and get them. So what's the difference between belief and faith? Scripture says, you believe there's one God, you do well. But the devils also believe and tremble. So whatever you believe about... So let me ask you a question. Does the devils know that Jesus is God's Son? Do they believe that He rose from the dead? Do they believe that Jesus died to take away your sins? They believe that? Well, what's the difference between belief and faith? Faith has to do with the heart. When we, when God starts calling us and knocking on our door, we need to answer. Amen? Where was I? Oh, yeah. Faith has to do with the heart. Belief is more in the head, would be my definition. You know about God, you know all the things you're supposed to do, you know all of the, and so you've got all these things in your head, but you've never opened your heart to the truth. Only by opening the heart to the truth will there be transformation in your life. I've sat with some of you in counseling and encouraged you to believe God for just Him loving you. God has a purpose for you. And sometimes, and it was almost like convincing you that I had a gift for you. And sometimes we can't receive what God has for us because of some embedded things in our head. And we need to get those things out of our head so that we can really receive what God has for us. Some of you may have grown up in a tradition in a church where they don't believe God for some things. You need to get that out of your head. You need to get it out of your head. Because you'll never receive what God has for you until you start believing. Some of you may be here today and say, well, God doesn't love me like He loves somebody else. So are you believing a lie? God's not going to do for me what He does for you, Pastor, because you're the pastor. You're better than I am. You're believing a lie. You're believing a lie. And we need to get the lies out of our heart so that we can receive the truth in our heart. God has some wonderful things in store for you. He's got some wonderful things in store for this church. But the only way we're going to receive it is by faith. It's said, and throughout Scripture, I think it's like 5 or 6 times, God says, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. If you're going to be righteous in God's eyes, you better learn how to faith Him. This morning, there may be some of you who have believed God in your head, but you never believed Him in your heart. And today, you understand that you need to open your heart to Him. That you need to reach out to Him. You need to embrace Him. You need to embrace His Word. There are some things that God has spoken into your heart, and you say, I don't believe it. Today, will you open your heart and either receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior or you receive what He's spoken into your heart? Would you do that today? Would you exercise that faith and then begin walking in it even though you don't see it? Faith is the evidence of things unseen, but you know in your heart. And because I know it in my heart, I'm going to walk it out. I don't see it. I don't know how it's going to come to pass, but God said it. I'm going to walk it out. Father, I come before You today. And Lord, I thank You for Your ministry to us. I thank You for Your love to us. I thank You for even giving us the faith. Faith comes from You. But Lord, we have to receive that. So Lord, there may be some here today that's been struggling with some things in their life. They've been arguing with you over some things. And today they just need to trust you. They just need to lay it down and say, yes, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. God, teach me. Show me. I'll walk in your path. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Let's stand together as we sing. And if God's working in your heart, come and pray at the altar. Come and talk to me even before the song sings.